Let's go somewhere here. All right. Ruth. Now, I told you people, if you didn't straighten up, I was going to do my own thing. So when I say something good, I'm going to hit this. And it's supposed to say something, but it's not. Well, nope. Nope, it's not going to do it. So you have to say amen. If I say something worth hearing, you'll have to say amen. Well, what's wrong with it? Anyway, all right. Book of Ruth. Verse 13. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. For thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her what she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, for who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of the next kinsmen." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said also unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And all God's people said, Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, that you would use it tonight to speak to our hearts, that we would see a clearer view of your goodness and your blessedness toward us, your love toward us. God, may we leave tonight knowing that as the children of God, we are a blessed people. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, if you will remember, Naomi and Ruth have left Moab. They have arrived in Bethlehem. Naomi is bitter. Ruth is a foreigner. And these two women, these two widows, have no family to help them. Naomi is too old to glean, but Ruth agrees that she will go out and she will try to find favor in the eyes of those that will allow her to glean so that she can provide food for herself and for Naomi to eat and to survive. Poor people of that day, widows of that day, orphans of that day, barely got enough to eat to survive. So in her gleaning, Ruth has unexpectedly found favor with a man named Boaz. And his favor, his kindness to her, has overwhelmed her to the point that she falls down before him in gratitude and thankfulness for his kindness toward her. And now Ruth, in verse number 13, will ask the question about his continued grace and continued favor toward her. How many would agree tonight that not only do we need initial grace and favor from God, we need continual grace and favor from God? So Ruth wants to know, will his favor toward her continue? And her concern is because she knows who she is. She is a foreigner. She is not one of Boaz's handmaids. Boaz has no obligation toward her. So considering and knowing who she is and what she is, will Boaz's grace and favor continue? And we should all be amazed that the grace and the favor of God continues toward us, who do not deserve it, and who have not merited it, and who God has no obligation toward in any sense. So let me say some things, and sort of arrange them under three headings about these blessings that Ruth receives. Number one, the steadfastness of the blessings. The steadfastness of the blessings. What we saw last week is that there is a law of God, provided by God, that would see that those who were widowed, those who were orphaned, and those who were poor could find food. Now, if you'll notice, the law of God had nothing to do with sitting at home waiting on the check to arrive. Somebody help me. But things were provided so that they could get off the couch and they could go out and they could work during the day gathering food. And the law was given in the context or in the framework of God's covenant care. Therefore, the application of the law was to reinforce, well, let me back up. The application of the law was not just to feed the poor and the widowed and the orphaned. The application of the law was to reinforce the character of a covenant-caring God. So in that obedience, Boaz is displaying not his kindness, but he's displaying the heart of God. And Ruth is able to see God's heart and experience God's heart through the actions of Boaz. In that way, God, who is invisible, is made visible. So I think we who are God's people should make an invisible God visible so that the world may see Him. And how do we do that? By just simply obeying His Word. So Boaz has been very gracious with Ruth, and his graciousness now turns into generosity. Say amen. What I want you to see tonight is not only is God gracious with us, His children, He is generous with us, His children. Past graciousness and into generosity. So what does Boaz do? She asks, will I continue to find favor in thy sight? Thou hast comforted me. Thou hast spoken friendly unto me. Even though I'm not like thine handmaids, will that continue? And Boaz says to her, what? At mealtime, you come hither and eat what? Bread, and dip the morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. And he, who's he? Boaz, reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed. Now, did you notice that Boaz is eating with the reapers? Do you think Boaz normally ate with the reapers? Why do you think Boaz is even eating with the reapers? Because he's invited Ruth. He could have eaten by himself, but he ate with them. So for Ruth, this meal was not just a meal of bread and vinegar, but it was a meal in the presence and in the fellowship of the other reapers, but more importantly, in the presence and the fellowship of Boaz. And did you notice something here? Boaz is serving her, not being served by her. Do you get the feeling that Boaz delights to be in her presence? That he delights to serve her? That he's excited to be near her? And do you know Christ is like that with us? The Bible said He came not to be served, but to what? To serve. And He went to the cross with joy. Why? Because He delighted to give His life for you and me in obedience to the Father. And don't you think Christ delights to be near us? Did He not say, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw real close to you? Amen? So now Ruth is not a reaper, is she? What is Ruth? She's a gleaner. She's not a reaper. She's a gleaner. Ruth is not an Israelite. She's what? A Moabite. But here Ruth is not a reaper but a gleaner, not an Israelite but a Moabite, but she's welcomed among the reapers and in the presence of Boaz as if she belongs. And she eats that which is handed to her from Boaz. You think maybe they caught each other's eyes when he handed her the bread? Do you see how generous Boaz is being toward her? Not just gracious, but generous. He has welcomed her where she does not belong. She has been welcomed where she does not deserve to be. She is welcomed where she has not earned to be. She is a foreigner, but here she's being treated just like she was one of them and just like she belonged. Of course, she belonged because Boaz said she did. Amen. She hadn't done anything to fix it so that she would belong, did she? She didn't become an Israelite, did she? She wasn't hired on as a reaper, was she? She didn't do anything. She belonged because Boaz said she belongs. She's there because Boaz said come. And we belong into the family of God, not because of what we have done, but what Christ has done. So after eating, Ruth returns to her gleaning. Remember the law now. The corners of the field are to be left unharvested. The perimeter left unharvested. They were not to pick up what they dropped, and they could not return to pick up what they missed. But let me tell you something. With the number of gleaners in Israel, when you left the corners and left the perimeter and didn't pick up what you dropped and didn't return to what you missed, there was still not a whole lot there. But there was enough there so that those who were widowed or orphaned or poor would not starve to death. But that wasn't good enough for Boaz. You see, because he'd already passed graciousness and went to generosity. Are you with me? Now, notice what happens next. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. Let her go places she doesn't have permission to go. She wanders off the corners. She wanders in places where it hasn't been allowed for her to glean. Just don't say anything." Somebody help me. "And every now and then, drop some things on purpose." And you drop them on purpose for her. And when you drop them, leave them, that she may come by and glean them, and you rebuke her not. Boaz's affections for Ruth will not leave it simply at grace, but he becomes generous toward her. Just letting Ruth get by on the bare essentials was not an option for Boaz. Boaz tells his men to let her glean, don't rebuke her, don't bother her, drop some on purpose so that she'll find plenty to glean. She must have thought she was probably the best gleaner that had ever gleaned. Right? I mean, some gleaners just went by and they missed this right here. They walked right over it. The Bible says she gleaned that field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gathered. She separated the wheat from the chaff, and she had an epath of barley. Now, there are about 100 different interpretations of what an epath was. But probably it was about 30 pounds of barley in a day. Can you imagine? Gleaners, if they have a good day, have enough to barely get by eating that night. She has 30 pounds of barley. Not the barley and the husk, but just the barley. Oh, listen. She has found favor with Boaz, and his favor has continued with her. And I don't think there's any reason for us to even contemplate the idea that that favor would ever end. Say amen. Hallelujah. If we have found favor with God through Christ, we will continue to find favor with God through Christ. And there's no reason to think that favor will ever end for us. Hallelujah. Number two. The sharing of the blessings. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved after she sufficed. Well, this is a wonderful blessing for Ruth, right? Not only the barley she has gleaned, but she now knows that she has continual favor with Boaz. Because he said, tomorrow, why don't you come on back and glean my fields? But Ruth can't wait to get home because she wants to show her mother-in-law, Naomi, what she has accomplished that day. This shower of blessing upon Ruth was more than Ruth and certainly more than Naomi could ever imagine. But she would not hoard it for herself. She would bring it and she would share it with her mother-in-law. And I'm here to tell you, Ruth brings enough barley home on that first day of gleaning for both of them to eat for the next few weeks. You remember when Boaz invited Ruth to come and eat with the reapers and him? Remember that? And he was serving her and he was giving her parched corn and he was giving her that to eat. Apparently, he gave her so much that she ate till she was full, and then she pulled out a doggy bag and put the rest of it in to take back to Naomi. Somebody help me. Now you know as well as I do that God is a generous and gracious God. And He does not give us just what we need. He gives us more. And we ought to put the more in a doggy bag so that we can share it with others. Somebody help me. She had ate herself full. She had ate till she was sufficed. But she saved this extra. She saved the rest of it so that she could give it to Naomi. She gave Naomi the overflow of what she got. Now in America, we think that we have, in America, we think we're blessed when we have a lot. We see somebody living in a $2 million home, that man's blessed. Or somebody drives a nice car, that person's blessed. And we think those who are able to afford better and nicer are blessed. We think those who buy their clothes at Macy's are more blessed than those who buy their clothes at Kohl's. That's the way we think. We view blessings on what people have. And that's probably the wrong view. The one who is truly blessed is the one who has what they need and they share the rest with others. Those people are really blessed. It is those who share the blessings of God with others that are truly blessed. It is those who share the doggy bags of God's blessings with others that seem to be blessed. Being blessed is not what you have. Being blessed isn't how much you give. And there's no wonder, there's no doubt in my mind why the world is so easily deceived by the prosperity gospel. Because while we would deny the prosperity gospel as a doctrine, we live much differently than what we say we believe. We are blessed. And blessed, and blessed, and blessed, and we keep, and we keep, and we keep it all for ourselves. I think Ruth got as much enjoyment out of watching Naomi eat that leftover in that little doggy bag as she got eating it herself. Somebody was telling me about person they knew that was very stingy, and I said, well, they robbed themselves of the blessing of being able to watch somebody enjoy what you give them. How would Naomi ever appreciate the blessings of God if Ruth had not shared them with her? If Ruth would have went home and said, Lunch today was great. I mean, it was a spread. It was wonderful. It tasted absolutely fantastic. Wish you'd have been there. No. Ruth said, lunch was great. I brought you some. Amen? How will Ruth ever convince Naomi that God is good? Because she doubts God's goodness. How will she ever convince Naomi that God is good and change her bitterness toward God if she doesn't share the blessings of God with her? How she does it. She's going to change the bitterness of Naomi and convince her that God is a good God by sharing God's blessings with her. And Naomi will see and she will hear and she will taste that God is good. Number three. You with me? Source of the blessings. Now, if we're not careful, we will attribute the 30 pounds of barley that Ruth takes home that night to Ruth. Because she was diligent and she worked hard. She gleaned. She was committed to getting as much as she could. So Ruth, with her diligence, her hard work, her commitment, that's why she was able to glean so much. She worked and she labored all day, right? Right till the evening time, gleaning the barley. Or we might attribute it to Boaz. After all, he is the one that is protecting Ruth, right? He is the one letting her go in places where law doesn't command for her to go. He's the one that's causing things to be dropped on purpose for her, right? So we could say Ruth was successful because Boaz made her successful. But you see, Naomi, old bitter Naomi, gets it right. Right? Naomi says, Ruth, where'd you glean today? Where'd you work today? In whose field did you glean today? How'd you get all this food? Where'd you go? And Ruth says, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, what she didn't say was, I know you worked so hard to get this, and I know Boaz is such a kind man. What she did say was this, blessed be he of who? Of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Thirty pounds of barley and the blessings of a doggy bag convinced Naomi she was wrong. The word here used for kindness is the Hebrew word hesed. There is no more significant Old Testament description of how God relates to His people than this word hesed. The best translation of this word would be loyal love. God loves His people genuinely, He loves them immutably, and He loves them loyally. Say amen. Both the love and the loyalty are bound together so that you cannot have love unless it's loyal love, and you can't be loyal without love. So what Naomi comes to understand is those 10 hard years, those 10 years of loss, did not mean that God is not good, God is not generous, God is not gracious, and God is not kind, or God is not loyal. God is loyal. God is love. And God is for His people, and God will never cease to be for His people. I'm here to tell you, if God be for us, He cannot be against us. Say amen. Now, I understand we lack loyalty, right? Because when the church fails to meet our changing needs, we change churches, or we change our theological convictions. We're no more loyal to the church than we are to our soft drinks, right? Right? Because if you're a Diet Coke person and you go to a restaurant and they say, you order a Diet Coke, and they say, Diet Pepsi, all right? Well, it's not. But you'll take it. Our tastes change, and we change with them, right? So the promise of a more exciting youth program or a more entertaining preacher or a more talented praise band encourage us to wander off from place to place. And to be honest with you, we really lack a commitment to one another in the church. We say we're loyal to sound biblical doctrine, but we all often lose sight that sound biblical doctrine is that we love one another. What Naomi here has learned is that God has an unwavering commitment to His people, and that God remains absolutely loyal in His love for His people, no matter what it looks like and no matter what I feel like. And even when we are not loyal, and even when we are not committed, and even when our love fades, and even when we stand up and say, God has dealt bitterly with me, God's hand has been heavy on me, His love never fails. His commitment never fails. His faithfulness never fails. No matter what happens, no matter what losses we receive, no matter what happens to make it appear to us that His loyalty to us is in question, He is loyal in His love toward us. And then Naomi drops the bombshell. Boaz is near kin. He's one of our next kinsmen. You know what that means? There's hope. There is hope. So Naomi says, hey, Ruth, you stay with Boaz. You stick with Boaz. You stay in his field. You only glean in his fields, because I'm here to tell you something, Ruth. There is hope for you and hope for me and hope for the world in Boaz. Why? Because he's the next kinsman. You know what that kinsman word means? Deliverer, Redeemer, Savior. Ruth, I would encourage you to stay in his fields because he's a deliverer. Stay in his fields because he's a Savior. Stay in his fields because he's a Redeemer. So Boaz is the evidence of God's hesed or loyal love toward Ruth and Naomi. And Christ is God's evidence of God's hesed or loyal love to us. God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son. So Boaz is going to become, or Boaz is, Ruth's kinsman redeemer. And he is going to redeem her life from poverty. He is going to save her from widowhood. He is going to be her deliverer. And Naomi grasped the potential of this turn of events the very moment she learned that it was Boaz who had taken interest in Ruth. Somebody help me. Things are looking up. Things are turning around. He's not only a kinsman, he's a redeemer. And so Naomi strongly encourages Ruth, you just be obedient, Ruth. You just stay there because apparently he's got his eyes on you. You stay in his fields. And you know what Ruth did? That's exactly what she did. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest. Remember when they came to Bethlehem? It was the beginning of barley harvest. And guess what? All the way through harvest of barley and wheat, Ruth had gleaned in Boaz's field. Amen. Blessings on top of blessings. And guess what? Guess who got in on all of the blessings? Now. She has gone from bitterness and gone from doubt in God's goodness to saying He has shown us His hesed, loyal love. Through what? Through a blessing that Ruth shared. How will people know if we don't tell them? How will they know God's a good God if we don't show them? How will they know God will bless even those who have sinned and don't belong because we're the same? We share with them the blessings of God, and there maybe the Holy Spirit will allow them to see. He is a God that blesses.